Gifts are wonderful, aren't they? And to be honest, I don't think I've yet met one person who says that they would hate receiving gifts. And even if they say it's not really their thing, they're not really a gift person, deep down, I'm sure that there would still be that sense of joy when they are given a gift, upon receiving a gift. And you know, we celebrate Christmas with the giving and receiving of gifts, certainly in our culture here in the West, anyway. And whilst the commercial and economic aspect of Christmas has perhaps got a little bit out of hand, the act of giving gifts reflects God's great gift to us in sending Jesus. And I loved that part of the Christmas display, the creative display this year over here and in the foyer as you enter in to our church building. I loved that part of it was a big present, beautifully gift wrapped, that said, "To my beloved from God the Father," or words to that effect. And so we're going to read from Luke's account this morning of the birth of Jesus Christ. Let's read from verse 1 together. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." This is the word of the Lord. And of course, this is an account of this great gift that has been given to us. A gift that was perhaps unexpected in terms of how it was wrapped. A gift that it was said would bring great joy. And a gift that was given for everyone. And on this Christmas day of 2024, I wonder how many of us have stopped to reflect on the nature of gifts. You know, in the madness of the Christmas rush, in the madness of the online sales and trying to make sure you can buy enough presents or whatever for whoever you need to buy for, I wonder how many of us have stopped to think that the significance of the act of giving gifts and what they might speak to us about Jesus. There are a few things about gifts that I want to highlight as important for us this morning as we reflect on the Christmas story and on Christ's coming. First thing I would mention today is that a gift is marked by a giver. This whole notion of receiving a gift requires that it be given to you. You can go and buy something for yourself, but technically, that's not really a gift, is it? Or the wonderful people that came and received the gift that I gave this morning, they might have seen the gifts up on stage. It might have taken their fancy. They might have kind of popped up and grab the gift, that wouldn't be receiving a gift, that would be stealing, wouldn't it? A gift is marked by a giver. And as we read scriptures around Christ's coming, whether the prophetic scriptures or whether we read the historical narratives and accounts like we've read this morning, or whether we read further on in the Gospels or in the New Testament writings about the life and ministry of Jesus, we see a common thread, a common theme that is woven through. For example, Isaiah 7:14, it says, "The Lord himself will give you a sign, that the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel." Or Isaiah 9, verse 6, we reflected on that passage just on Sunday, just gone. It says, "For unto us a son is given." John 3:16, one of the most famous verses, I'm sure, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Or in Luke 22:19, when Jesus, he's about to go to the cross, he's sharing the Passover with the disciples, he says, "This is my body given for you." Or further on, for example, in Ephesians 2:8, we read, the Apostle Paul writes this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." The whole Christmas narrative, indeed the life and ministry of Jesus, is underpinned, is marked by a generous God who has given freely, willingly, generously. And at Christmas, we remember a God who is generous, who gives to us not condemnation, but mercy, who gives to us not begrudgingly, but graciously, who gives to us not based on our performance or ability to measure up. You know, I was just thinking of that song during this week, "You Better Watch Out." You know, he knows if you've been bad or good. No, that doesn't reflect the nature of God's heart at all, just to make that very clear this morning. It's not based on our performance or ability to measure up, but on his immeasurable love for us. This day, we remember a God who has taken the initiative and has given us the gift of his Son, the one who is Savior, the one who is Emmanuel, God with us. A gift is marked by a giver. A gift is also marked by cost. There is a cost to giving a good gift. The Australian Retailers Association recently published a media release titled "Christmas Comes Early for Retailers as Aussies Buy Sooner and Spend More." In this article, this media release, they presented some data that revealed Australian shoppers are expected to spend $11.8 billion on presents this Christmas, which is up $1.6 billion on last year's figures. So on average, that works out to be that shoppers are expected to spend $707 each on gifts. That's an awful lot of money. That's an awful lot of gifts. That's a huge cost, isn't it? If you're familiar with the book, The Five Love Languages, and kind of to summarize it in a nutshell, it basically outlines the ways that people like to give and receive love based on how they are wired, if you like. And one of these love languages is receiving gifts. And perhaps you're someone whose love language is gifts, receiving gifts. And that means that you love planning out, you love thinking about what will be a meaningful gift, how you can express your love for a person with a gift that it's not just an afterthought, but has meaning and intentionality about it. And if you like doing that, then most likely you like receiving gifts the same way. Others taking the time to put effort and attention into buying a gift for you. You know, if we think about the gift that God has given to us in Jesus, we see that it was very costly. This is the King of Glory, humbling himself to come into the world as a baby. The Word became flesh to take on our frame, to walk in the dirt, to know pain and sorrow, and ultimately to give his life upon the cross. I love what it says in Philippians 2. Where it says Jesus was in very nature God, yet he didn't count that a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself. And he became as a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. This gift given to us wasn't just an afterthought for you and me. It wasn't just a last-minute gift voucher because we didn't know what else to get. It was a gift that cost him everything. It was a gift that was planned and purposed in his heart even before the foundation of the world. You know, if we look right back at the start, right back in Genesis, right after the fall, right after humanity, Adam and Eve had messed up and sinned, we see this wonderful glimpse that God gives where he says, you know, I'm going to make a way. It's the first point or reference point in Scripture, Genesis chapter 3, of a Messiah who would come to crush the power of the enemy under his feet. At Christmas, we remember the lengths that God has gone to for us. And we remember, of course, yes, the humility and putting on flesh and all that cost, but ultimately, the greatest cost was found at the cross of Calvary, the fulfillment of Jesus' earthly mission. He came as Savior, and indeed, he came to die on the cross to save us from our sins. And this gift that God has given to us reflects the value with which he sees us. Because something is only as valuable as what someone is willing to pay to purchase it. 1 Corinthians 6 says that we have been bought with a price. Because each of us are so valuable to God, he willingly gave us the gift. He willingly paid the cost of that gift. So this morning, let me encourage us, don't underestimate your value and worth, because to him, you're priceless. I believe there's someone here today who needs to hear that. So a gift is marked by a giver. A gift is marked by cost. A gift is marked by waiting and anticipation. If your house is anything like mine, there is always a great deal of excitement around Christmas, around birthdays. It's like the countdown. How many days? How many days to go? One day less than yesterday. One day less than yesterday. Is it time for presents yet? No, no, no. It's too early. Thankfully, this morning it wasn't 3:30 like it was maybe a couple of years ago. It was a bit later than that. Still very early. Is it time for presents yet? No, no, no. It's still too early. It's nearly time. Is it time yet? Then finally, yes, it's time. It's time, and there's joy and celebration. There's a sense of anticipation that comes with waiting. I wonder what it would have been like for Mary, for Joseph, as they waited. For the shepherds, as they were just going about their business on that hill that night. I wonder what it would have been like for the people of God living at that time in history. A point of time where God had been silent for some 400 years. No prophetic voice, no direct leading, nothing. They would have known about the prophecies. They would have heard the whispers that there was one who was coming, a Savior, a Messiah who would come. But God, where are you? What are you doing? Even Isaiah chapter 9, you know, as we reflected on Sunday, that was prophesied some 700 years prior to its fulfillment here in the passage that we've read this morning. That's a long time to wait. But as we read the passage, as we've read this morning, you know, the shepherds just going about their business, tending the flock, and then all of a sudden the angel appears, "I bring you good news of great joy. There's a Savior that's been born, Christ the Lord." There would have been a sense of, it's time. Let's go and see. Let's go and see what has been proclaimed to us. Time doesn't permit us to do this, but later on in Luke chapter 2, there's these accounts of Simeon and Anna, two wonderful saints. A man, a woman who'd been seeking the Lord and who'd been, they'd been promised by the Holy Spirit that they would see the Messiah, the promised one. They've been waiting. They'd been waiting, they'd been seeking God, and then all of a sudden, the Lord fulfilled that promise, and they were able to see with their eyes the promised one, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Perhaps there may be some of you here this morning in the midst of a season of silence. Maybe some here today where you feel like you're in a place of just waiting, where you're stuck, where nothing seems to be happening, where you're questioning, God, where are you? God, what are you doing? Maybe there's a sense of anticipation with that, but maybe there's just plain disappointment, discouragement, and frustration. At Christmas, we have opportunity to reflect on all the places in our lives and all the places in the world around us where we're still waiting for God to come, for God to make a change, for Him to move, for Him to do something. But we remember in the waiting, in the questions, in the anticipation, even if that's grown a little bit dim, that we can take joy in our Savior. That we can remember that He is Emmanuel, God with us in the waiting, with us in the frustrations, with us in the doubts, with us in the questions, but with us in the anticipation as well. A gift is marked by waiting and anticipation. Let's continue to look to the Lord if we're in that kind of place this morning. A gift is also marked by mess. When I think of Christmas gifts, if I think of my living room this morning, it was marked by wrapping paper and chaos. And in fact, according to the CSIRO, to wrap Christmas gifts, Australians use more than 150,000 kilometres of wrapping paper during the festive season. That's almost enough to enough paper to wrap around the Earth's equator nearly four times. That's a lot of wrapping paper. That's a lot of mess. That's a lot of cleanup afterwards. As we reflect on the gift of Jesus, He didn't come with pomp and ceremony. He didn't come in the way that people expected, in a nice, neatly packaged box. It was into the mess that God sent His Son. It was into the brokenness that God sent His Son. It was into the darkness. He came as the light of the world. And you know, Jesus doesn't shy away from our mess. He doesn't shy away from the cleanup that is so often required in our hearts and lives. If we think of the context of the passage this morning, what took place here? For God's people, they were under oppressive Roman rule. They were under oppression. They were longing for freedom. They were longing for and looking to a deliverer who would come and set them free. If we think about Mary, just a young teenager, most likely, a girl who was a virgin, was betrothed, had her whole life ahead of her, and then all of a sudden, her life was turned upside down. Even the inconvenience of having to travel far away on a donkey, heavily pregnant, that's just not comfortable. There's mess involved there. How Christ came, not born into a palace, but in humility, in a stable, in a manger. Not exactly the state-of-the-art birthing facility at a fancy private hospital. Even what was proclaimed to the shepherds, that there is one who was born Savior. If we needed a Savior, it's because we needed saving. There was a mess. There was sin that needed rescuing from. Because of sin, because of the painful effects of sin, we couldn't save ourselves. Perhaps you're here this morning and you hear of this gift that God has given. You hear of Christ coming as the greatest gift of all. And you're like, well, that's all well and good, but you don't know the mess here in my life. Perhaps you're here this morning a little bit embarrassed by the mess of your choices. Perhaps you've been just keeping God at arm's length because you don't want to let Him in to see the hidden things of your heart and life. Or maybe your life on the surface looks great. You look like you've got it all together. But like the proverbial duck on the water, underneath, you are paddling away. You're working and trying really hard just to keep everything in place, to keep up appearances, to keep it all together. I would say to you this morning, let Him in. Let Him in. It was for this very reason that Christ came, that the Son was given to seek and save the lost, to step down into the brokenness of humanity, to ransom the lost to the one who so loved us. And at Christmas, we can invite Jesus into the mess, into the pain, into our brokenness. He will not shy away. And as part of that, yes, there are things that he may be asking us to give to him, to yield to him, to surrender to him. For he's not just Savior, but he is Lord as well, as was proclaimed to the shepherds. He is not just Savior, but he is Lord. A gift is marked by mess. On the home stretch now, a gift is marked by joy. I love watching those moments of my own kids opening a gift, whether it's Christmas, whether it's their birthdays, and I always try and capture those moments when they open the gift. There's a squeal of delight or a joyful response, the look on their face. Gifts, good gifts, bring joy. But you know, as a father, as wonderful as those times are, I know that there will be another season in life, next year probably, where there'll be something else as exciting or more exciting. Where these things, the joy that we take from earthly gifts, for example, are fleeting, not lasting. But I love the proclamation we see here in Luke's account. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Good news of joy for all the people. It's not an exclusive club. God's great gift is available to everyone, to young and old, near and far. And at Christmas, we remember that our joy is not just found in earthly pleasures. It's not just found in presents we might receive earlier today or later today. It's not found in, you know, the joy that we might receive from watching those corny movies on Christmas time, Christmas movies, not even in a wonderful baked Christmas ham. But none of those things can bring true and lasting joy. But what does bring true and lasting joy is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good news of joy because he has come. He is a Savior who has come. Finally, this morning, I'll invite Brendan and Michelle just back up. A gift. Do you want to pass that to me, Sterling? A gift must be received. I receive it. A gift must be received. That's perhaps the most important point to remember this morning. Because it's great to talk about and reflect on the gift given to us. But the very nature of a gift means that as it has been given, so it must be received. As the carol says, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. This morning, have you received him? Have you welcomed him as Lord and Savior? Have you prepared and made room for Jesus? Or is he somewhere on the peripheral, somewhere there that you kind of call upon when you need something? This is what it says in John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, this wonderful passage that proclaims the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. In verse 11 and 12 of John 1, it says, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To all who did receive, this Greek word literally means who accepted what is available. Or laid hold of what was on offer. To all who did receive, he gave the right to become children of God. You may receive some nice gifts this Christmas, trip to Disneyland, one of the eggs perhaps, that would be a blessing, wouldn't it? You may receive some nice gifts this Christmas, but this right here is the greatest gift of all. welcomed as a child of God, to live loved and accepted as a child of God. And this comes as we receive the gift of God's Son, Jesus. Today, maybe some of you have opened gifts already. Maybe you're yet to open gifts later today, this afternoon, tomorrow. As we open gifts this Christmas, or as we think about gifts at least, I pray that they would cause us to stop and think about Jesus. They would actually point us towards Jesus. That as we think about gifts or open up gifts this Christmas, we would remember that the best gift of all is marked by a giver, a generous God who has given. That yes, there was a cost involved to give this greatest gift. But yes, even in the waiting and anticipation, we can still take joy and remember this God who is with us, Emmanuel. That even in the mess, we can come to Him. That we can take joy in our Savior. We can receive Him, what He has made available to us. Would you stand this morning? We're going to finish just with a song of praise, an opportunity to respond to the Lord in worship today. And then we'll go from here into our Christmas celebrations. So Father, thank You for the greatest gift of all, sending Your Son Jesus. And we thank You, God, that You are indeed a generous God, that You have made a way for us. And this morning, I just pray that You would cause our hearts to stop, to reflect, to turn towards You, Lord God. That we would remember indeed the great cost of the greatest gift that You've given us. We thank You, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us, the ultimate fulfillment of your earthly mission. We thank You that You're with us in the waiting. We thank You that we can come to You even with our mess and brokenness. We thank You for the joy that You have brought, Lord Jesus. And this morning, I pray that we would make room for You and that we would receive You, the greatest gift of all. I just bless each person here in the name of the Lord Jesus to know the peace that You have brought, Lord, stronger than our feelings, surer than any circumstance. I pray for that in Your wonderful name, King Jesus.